You are listening to Legion of Substitute Podcasters, Episode 85, The Scream Heard Across the Universe. And welcome to episode 85 of Legion of Substitute Podcasters. I'm Paul French, and today I am Weekday Lad. It feels weird. We're recording on a weekday. Kind of neat.
Cool.
Yeah.
It does.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird.
Yeah. It's a whole different vibe. And so, So
I'm not nearly as drunk.
Exactly. Exactly.
I apologize in advance, folks.
Of course, I say that. Of course, we're really recording this on whatever day you're listening to it, naturally.
That's true. That's
yes.
True.
That's
true. Well, the day before. Let's be real.
It's true. It's Monday morning.
Time travel can only do so much.
That's right. We get up every Monday morning to record.
Yeah, 2 a.m. Yeah. That's usually when we're going to bed. So.
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. So that's me for this week.
That you and I am Darren Noel, and I am woohoo! Boy, because I got a Legion number one in front of me. Yay.
Oh, yeah.
I'm happy. I'm giddy. Woohoo! I'm trying not to bounce in my chair. The cats are giving me plenty of room tonight.
Yes, like, oh, I can imagine.
Oh, crap. Dad's happy. What happened? So, that's me. Maddie?
Well, this, sadly, for the last time, I'm Matt Kramer, and I'm Lost Lad. Because, yesterday was the big finale.
By yesterday, you mean
by yesterday, yeah. As in when awesome. You hear this,
as you're listening to this, unless you're listening to it on a different day, in which yes. case it could have been weeks ago.
Well, regardless,
or,
it's happened.
Or 3 days in the future,
yeah, or yes, not have exactly. happened yet.
Well, no, they won't have been listening to it before it happened. So
no,
I blame the destruction of the Time Institute.
Exactly,
well,
I think
that's a good one.
Spoilers.
This issue is a lost tie-in.
And I'm Scott Coles, and tonight I am coming. Oh, God, I am coming. This was a great first issue.
Excuse me. Okay, before you do that, I need to get the plastic sheeting out.
Oh, my.
No warning, no surrender.
I got to get the mop. Come on, we got to clean the time bubble out now. Jesus.
What do you think your average mopper makes an hour?
Actually, I know.
Chris did the cum bubble.
So there we go.
Why does it smell like bleach and poppers in here? Oh, my God. But enough about my life. Hey, Paul. Get me out of this.
Oh. I'm trying to think of a way to. All right. So, of course, this week we had a big Legion week. And I know some people were referring to it as Avengers Day or something.
Oh. Who are they?
But we all know it was really Legion Day, because not only did you have Legion of Superheroes issue one, but you also had Legion of Super Pets showing up over in Tiny Titans.
Oh, yeah. And with Brainiac 5.
Exactly. So, I mean, that's...
Who is awesome.
You know, totally. And so I mean, really, Avengers Day? Okay. Sure.
What's an Avenger?
Yeah, exactly. I was like, where's Patrick McNee? I don't understand. and Emma Peel. I don't understand what you're talking about. I'm kidding. I read both books, but yeah, it was.
You mean you read Back to the Future, the comic book?
Totally.
Oh, I heard. Yeah.
Totally. He got Iron Man there. So what? What do our kids? Do our kids turn out to be assholes?
Yeah, well, welcome to the JSA's problem, isn't it?
Okay.
Why, most of them are dead.
It's your kids, Avengers.
Obsidian's not an egg anymore.
No, he's not. He's not.
He's emo again.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know, we're just wishing he was an egg again.
Yeah, like this I needed. Oy.
Yeah.
Let's see here.
So, anyway, so we got off to a really good start here. 40-page book, first off. That includes the text piece that Levitz did at the end.
Yeah, text piece. How about that?
I know. Next thing they'll be doing like a letter column or something crazy like that.
Don't be silly.
So, yeah. So, you know, off to a good start that way. And of course, we had the two covers. We had the Ildre Sinar cover with the
wait. Green... Mine only has one cover. What's going on?
Oh no! You got ripped off. You were robbed, sir.
Yeah, you didn't pay the extra for the.
My store was sold out of the Jim Lee cover before I got there.
I can imagine
after it opened.
Yeah, yeah, wow. that Jim Lee cover was sharp, man, and that's you know, it actually there were I read a few comments from various people that were saying it's like, you know, looking at that at the way Jim Lee draws that costume, I want her wearing it again. Uh-huh. And
well, you might get your chance.
Hey now,
the way things are going, I'm someone might be back on the market. So,
well, and so, you know, sorry, I completely derailed myself there, but yeah, the Jim Lee cover. I mean, it's an absolutely spectacular cover, and I mean, there's a lot going on with the various variant covers that they're doing, because you've got the Jim Lee variant covers for the first few issues of this series. Over on Adventure, starting with issue 12, I think you're getting variant covers over there, but most importantly, that first one, they've got the standard cover, which we've all seen in the solicits. Which starts off the Superboy and the Legion of Superheroes story that's going to be happening over there, but the variant cover that they have for that is Lee Bermejo doing a painted reinterpretation of the Great Darkness cover of like the I guess it's the cover for the trade, but also the cover for Legion of Superheroes number 294, and. And he's painted
gorgeous.
Oh my god!
It's gorgeous.
Yeah,
and
like if they don't put that on the cover of the trade that's coming out, sorely missing out.
Absolutely! It is stunning. It is absolutely stunning. The image of Darkseid on that on that cover is, I mean, that's, you know, it's probably perhaps the most menacing we've seen him look in a while, and I mean,
Suge Knight.
What? No, exactly, and I mean, it's
leave the Dark Side Club alone. Peace.
It's an absolutely fantastic cover, and you've got the heroes actually not just kneeling in worship, but bowing down in worship, and yeah, it's really quite stunning. And that was that they just released that today, so you can check that out over on the DCU blog at dccomics.com. And we have actually a link to it on our site at legionofsubstitutepodcasters.com. At least think we do. I know we used to. I think I remembered to put that one back.
The forum is working today. I checked.
Well, there you have it.
today, 3 days ago. After Lost finishes, no guarantees.
Exactly. So, yeah. Exactly. So, now just... Let's sort of go around and get first impressions.
We've got one more thing we got to mention.
Oh, yep, please do.
We can't forget the Brave and the Bold coming out this week.
That's right.
Yeah.
We got to
mention Brave and the Bold coming out because that's the Legion and Doom Patrol, right? And we got to mention last week was Booster.
Absolutely.
Of the Great Darkness Saga tie-in there. Was totally out of left field.
It was a great time, but as soon as you get to on that first page, it's just like, what's going on? Oh, he's on Daxam. Oh my God, I know exactly when this is, and yes. and you know, it ties into one of my big comments about Legion of Superheroes number one. How great is it to have a comic that you can actually sit there and read, and it takes more than just 5 minutes?
Really? Thank you. I mean, right? I'm glad we're not getting characters who are just like one word, you know, word balloons in like three panels without, you know, a reason for it. You know, it's not decompressed at all. There's a ton in this book.
Yeah.
And you know, it's there. I know there were some people who were saying, oh, well, the writing seemed to, the dialogue seemed a bit expository. And it's like, I didn't feel that. I felt that it contributed to the plot.
I've got no problem with that.
Yeah, it's
nice to have to read the comic for a change.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's, and that's what I'm saying. It's just nice to have something where it is more than a 5 minute read, you know, where you've got you know, single words in balloons with statted images and not mentioning any yeah. books in particular. But it was Legion Day yesterday.
Mm-hmm. It was Legion Day yesterday.
And let me tell you, they did not sit around the clubhouse watching TV. I thought that it was really great to have, you know, hey, we're spending like, you know, $3 or $4 on these books these days, you know, like, so Booster was a $3, 22 page book. And this one's a $4, you know, 39 page book, 40, including the text piece. And, hey, that's, you know, I feel like I get my money's worth with that. When I can actually sit there, go through it, and it's like, man, I really got a lot out of that. And then when I sat down and gave it a second read later on, because I'll cop to it. I read mine in the parking lot. Mm-hmm. You know, it was like I got out to the car, and it's like, okay, I'm gonna read this now.
I stopped at the park on the way home and let the boy play in the playground while I read it.
Nice, mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah, I read it in my friend Josh's car in the parking lot.
Mm-hmm. Nice. I read it in the lobby of our, in the atrium of our built my work building.
So atrium. See, no one waited until they got home. Nobody waited until they got home to read it. You know, that's
our atrium is really fancy. We've got people down there drinking Crown Royal.
And Crown Royal, shit, sleeping. That is fancy. We come from different worlds, obviously, Matt, because that's how damn fancy where I'm coming from.
Yeah, I basically Crown Royal. On the edge of the ghetto.
Yeah, but on the other hand, bullwhips. So
true.
Balances true. Out.
There you have it.
Wow, that was like way more.
I went to a bad place. Baseball. Let's move on.
All right. So, hey,
do we know if Legion's going to be $3.99 all the time or just
well,
because?
Well, I was just looking at the previews online a couple minutes ago, and at least issue 4 is $3.99,
yeah.
But it's still 40 pages.
No kidding.
So, I don't know if. Because wasn't the three?
Is there going to be backups or something?
I don't know. Maybe Lovitz is just writing 40 pages.
Wow. I'd be surprised if Yield Array could do 40 pages a month, though. I mean, that seems
or maybe
a lot
at least
to ask.
First arc.
Yeah, no, that's really interesting.
They had some lead time with this, I'm sure.
Now,
so,
but you know what? Let's be real about it, though. You know, the day of the $2.99 book, it's going away.
It's going away. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, there was a lot of talk over the last few days about the Time Masters book. It was originally solicited at $2.99. Then they had solicited issue 2 at $3.99, and then went back and adjusted the price upward on issue 1. So they did some sort of retroactive price changing on these things. You know, they're realizing that $3.99 isn't causing the kind of unit attrition that makes it less worthwhile for them to do. So it's going to happen.
Though I must say how glad we pay $3.99 for that new Tom Strong miniseries.
Oh, doesn't that look great?
Oh, yes, it does. At Challengers, Chris Sprouse had photocopies of, I think, up through issue number 4 of pages, and it looks awesome.
Yeah, yeah. That the preview that they had in Return of Bruce Wayne 1 was you know, yeah.
Who?
I want to check that out.
I don't know, some guy.
Some guy, yeah. No, we can talk about him. He's not Steed or Mrs. Peel.
What?
I don't miss him. I don't miss him, to be honest. Can I be honest about that? I don't really miss him.
I don't either.
You know?
Batman hasn't been fun for me for ages, so I don't really care.
I miss him a lot less than I thought I would.
Yeah.
See?
Yeah.
Sometimes a little dirt nap's a good thing.
There you go. All right, so let's sort of we'll sort of dig in this one. We won't sort of go necessarily page by page. We'll certainly go event by event because there's a lot happens in this book.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's interesting because it does really sort of harken back to that older style of writing, you know, that, you know, the decompression age, you know, is not in evidence in this book. And, no. You know, and you know, quite a bit happens. And, you know, it was, and I remember when we first got the solicits where we were told, you know, and this is going to happen, you know, and a Legionnaire's world will die. And we were all kind of wondering what that was going to mean. And of course, the title, The Scream Heard Round the Universe, did kind of lead us down that Tyrok zone, but that wasn't it at all.
It's so full of possibility. It's awesome.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, and yeah, I mean, just and the way it happens, right?
Mm.
So we start off with something that we all love to see.
Torture.
And Earthman getting tortured. And, you know, there's some interesting stuff going on here because you think with all the stuff that's been going on with Guantanamo and everything, and the two guys that are guarding Earthman, the whole idea is that they're supposed to be draining his powers. And the one guy's like, yeah, I know we're supposed to drain his powers, but, you know, maybe you don't need to torture him quite so much. Mm-hmm. And so they kind of have a little debate sort of talking both sides of that, which I found quite interesting. Mm-hmm. And you know, the one guy actually had the experience of, you know, his life was saved by Saturn Girl. So, at one point, So he kind of takes it a bit personally.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Why did Earthman not get accepted to the Legion in the first place? His power seems pretty good.
I think it was character.
That's what I seem to recall.
Let's see. I think they decided that he wasn't or either that, or he wasn't good enough compared to the other Legionnaire who joined.
Didn't it have something to do with Saturn Girl doing like a mind scan or something like that?
I think it did. There was something about him that made Legionnaires go no, and it may not have even been as formal as a mind scan. It might have been as simple as like Atmos when they were like, you know what, he's powerful, but really, do we need this?
But a bit of a dick.
Yeah.
No,
was it those siphons?
I thought it was because his powers were reliant on other
powers. People's powers. That could be it too. Hmm. We'll have to go back and research that.
Seems kind of silly though. If you're constantly hanging around with 30 other dudes with powers, you'd think that, you know, that'd be all right.
Yeah. Well, I guess it does kind of violate that whole duplication of powers thing though.
And of course, hey, any excuse to read Tyrok's first appearance again?
There you have it.
That's all right with me.
There you have it. Exactly. So basically, lots and lots of torture. But here's something really interesting. At the bottom of page two,
I checked it out on Wikipedia, and that his power, he was rejected on the grounds that his powers were too limited.
Oh, well, there you go. But the powers that as they ended up are different from what they were when he started out, though. So
definitely.
Okay. So, but here's something that's really interesting. Okay, you know, you go through page two here, and the one guy's talking, and he's given his point of view on the whole thing, and he says, you know, listen, lots of folks think Earthman and his Justice League were the good guys, and there's this little symbol. It looks like an asterisk of sorts.
I know. It's frightening, isn't it? I haven't seen one of those in ages.
And then you look down at the bottom of the page, and they've got a caption with another one of those little asterisks in there that says, as seen in Superman and the Legion of Superheroes.
I'm going to go out on a limb here and I say that those things may just be connected.
I think you're right. I think that's what the asterisk is there to show us. And what's interesting is he's referred to something that happened, and they're mentioning it down here. I might want to, you know, if I haven't read it, I might want to check that story out. Mm-hmm. What a great idea. More comics should do that.
It's an excellent idea.
Yes.
It's just
thank you, Brian Cunningham.
Exactly. It's just crazy enough to work.
What episodes was that one?
Oh, goodness. Those were early on. Those were, goodness, those
in
were.
In
those,
the 20s.
Yeah, yeah. So,
God, we're old.
Well, oh my!
Exactly. All right. So basically, they keep zapping Earthman, and clearly they're enjoying it. And we cut to Titan, a moon of Saturn.
Actually, it's more Lost imagery, Paul. It's man with dark hair, man with light hair. Yeah. Science police officer.
Oh, it really is.
Science police Jacob and science police Esau.
Man with permanent wedgie.
So we get to Titan, and I didn't translate the interlock on the left, but on the right, it is Time Institute.
I think the left says Academy. Or something close to it.
You know what? You're right. Yeah, looks you're right. Like it. Yeah, but, it totally does.
It's A-C-A-R-D-E-M-Y, Academy. So I'm not sure if that's a typo in Interlac or not.
Interlac, you know, typo.
They're crazy on Titan.
Interlac fail.
Now I've got a question.
Yeah.
I know Aven was big in the Archies, but
yeah.
did he exist pre-Zero Hour?
I don't think he did. I think this is part of them.
You know, the only people I remember from the Time Institute were Circadius Genius.
Aven wasn't a member of the Time Institute. He was Saturn Girl's mentor.
I don't remember him being a part of any Legion story from
the original Legion. That's what I thought. That's what I thought as well.
Because I don't recall that we ever really got that that kind of background info on Saturn Girl, and that's primarily because. By the time, Levitz got around to them, he was pretty much, shuffling the founders off and replacing them.
Yeah.
And
it was all of her history pages were wasted on the Rand's origins.
Exactly. Go figure.
If you tell Lightning Lad's origins 65 times, somebody's got to get cut. So.
So anyway, so she lands to see her mentor, Dr. Aven.
He's getting ready for some golf.
Yes, he is. He is. He was just out on the putting range, apparently. Yeah. This just seemed to me some really interesting background info. And I gotta say, I wasn't big on the short haired Imra.
I love it.
In this, I'm loving it. You know, Sinar is really to be commended on the artwork throughout this book is really great. And he gives a unique look to each of the Legionnaires. You know, they each have, it's not just a hairstyle thing or a costume thing. It's they have different facial structures and that kind of thing.
Want to see the pencils only versions of all the pages in the book, head over to www.theartofcomics.com.
Cool. Very cool. So, but he talks about this secret room where she keeps her journal, and it's a place that is totally shielded. And of course, it's a world of mind readers, so that's a big deal. And so she's going to go to this, secret little happy place there. And meanwhile, back on Earth, we are in Science Police headquarters in Metropolis, and Cosmic Boy and Ultra Boy storm into the room and. They're pissed. I mean, I just love this storming in. And they talk to the chief. And who's the chief?
Chief GG.
Exactly. Of course, we had to know she'd be back, being named for the writer's wife. And so she takes no crap from the Legionnaires.
She never did.
Well, that's true. She puts Zendak to shame. True. they're pissed off about something, and Cause disarms the science police, and he's holding the table, and I love this line: "Get your damn magnetic paws off my furniture,
you damn dirty brawlion."
Oh man. So basically, hey, things are tenuous. The UP is just getting put back together. Things have been tough, with all the xenophobia as we saw, as we saw what was going on. And so what has happened is, as a compromise, they're moving the Time Institute from Earth to Titan. And basically, the whole idea is, if you guys don't screw around, you take on a new Legionnaire, guarantee his good behavior, and you don't get your headquarters thrown off Earth. But, it's a compromise that they've had to make, because it's like, okay, we get to keep the Legion on Earth, but we have to move the Time Institute. Speaking of the Time Institute, we cut to the Time Institute and we meet a few new characters. Adaipu? I wasn't really sure how that one was.
It won't matter for long.
Yeah.
It's okay.
You're right. And Eusalis, who's kind of like an ape man, kind of reminds me a bit of the Beast. And what's her name here? Harmony,
Dr. Lee.
Yeah, right. Harmonia Lee. So we meet them at the Time Institute. Now they're talking, and we pretty quickly grab onto what it is they're talking about. Oh, by the way, did we mention spoilers? Yeah, there's spoilers. Mm-hmm. So they talk a lot about, seeing the beginning, the revelation. And of course, we know anytime someone wants to see that, you know, anyone who's looking through a time viewer.
Bad juju.
Yeah.
Bad.
Or they could see the flashpoint.
Well, and that's right. That's where I was going to get next. So, and she does refer to Ron Vidar dying in battle. And there's a little asterisk and it says in Legion of Three Worlds.
Wow.
So if I wanted to see what happened to Ron Vidar, I could actually go and find Legion of Three Worlds and read it there.
Or listen to those episodes.
Exactly. And they're sort of they're kind of put out through, you know, put in throughout, because we did those as they were coming out. Anyway, so they talk about the bureaucracy, blah blah blah, and but they're talking about, hey, we got some stuff we want to check out. All right, so then we go back to Titan, and she's looking at an image of Lightning Lad, who, as we remember from the Adventure Comics backups, hey, all this stuff, in fact, does count.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, you know, he's taken off, left her with the kids. So those who were questioning, you know, do Lightning Lad and Saturn Girl even have kids in this continuity? The answer is yes. Yes, they do. And he has apparently dumped those kids onto her as he runs off on a quest to find his big brother's non-existent twin. Of course, we know there's probably going to be something, right?
Mm. Be funnier if it wasn't.
Yeah, exactly.
No, sorry, honey, you were right.
You were right. Whoops. But
here's a big note at the end of the scavenger hunt going, nah, 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 nah.
Yeah,
I looked
exactly.
All over Ventura. I couldn't find him. You're right.
Well, hey, what goes on Ventura stays on Ventura.
That's right.
Here.
But here's something, just a little seed planted. This, we'd never seen anything of this mentioned before, but we know that it's going to come up in the Superboy and the Legion of Superheroes series, is the idea of a triangle between the founders. So she talks about how everyone thought that she and Rock were a natural couple, leaders, star students on their home worlds, and he was, of course, and Lightning Lad was, of course, the impulsive one, always in trouble. So all of the gossip would link her to Cosmic Boy. Of course, she wanted Lightning Lad, and now we get the impression she's kind of regretting that choice.
And it's kind of funny that Cosmic Boy is not burdened with a significant other right now, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, he did say...
We're Stalker Girl.
Yeah, exactly. He did say he was going to be putting Saturn Girl through the ringer. So, and soon.
Yeah, pages to come.
Yeah, exactly. So she throws her little iPad across the room and then picks it up again, and there's an image of Superman. And this is, of course, she talks about how she had her teenage dreams of becoming a science police officer and how she was inspired by Superman even then. And then we cut away back to Earth to the new modified Fortress Lad.
No! Can I say something?
Yeah.
The hologram symbols are finally back, people.
I know. Yes. Isn't it great? It's like, so woo-hoo! Great. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Now, and so we get it.
I didn't even notice those. I'm sorry. I didn't even notice those due to the costumes on Dawnstar and Phantom Girl there.
Seriously. Gee
willikers.
Hey, wait.
It's a little disco. It's a little disco.
Scott,
they were inspired directly by Power Girl, I take it.
Wait until you see that painted cover.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, seriously. All right, so now this is great. Now this is a slightly different characterization of Brainy than we were used to in the previous Levitz years, because he never sort of played him as angry, but he did play him as sort of having sort of a vague disinterest, but he always seemed a little more benign. And I kind of like this. I kind of like this. You know, and it's neat because he is, you know, much with Dr. Raven, it seems that he is borrowing little bits from the other continuities and seeing what he can do to make those work as well. And
well, he's obviously noticed that people tend to like Brainiac 5 as kind of an asshole. So
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And why not use that?
And it, and he uses it to such good effect in this issue. Apparently, as it turns out, Brainiac 5 not so happy about what it is the science police want them to do. The whole idea is that, of course, they want them, the Legion, to admit Earthman as a member. And
say what?
Exactly. And they've kind of got some issues with Earthman. You know, he caused some troubles. And so Brainy is livid, and Sunboy. Not so happy either. He says, if Earthman walks in here, don't expect him to walk out. I owe that bastard. And so they talk about the xenophobe faction on their world is blackmailing the rest of EarthGov. And it's basically, you know, think of this as a strong political lobby that is basically saying, hey, you know, we still do a lot for you. You need to watch out for us. And
Québécois?
I was thinking tea baggers, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Whatever works.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. And we just lost all our French Canadian listeners.
We love you.
All right.
Tea bag.
Hey now. All right. So he's So Cosmic Boy, you know, and this is interesting because this is something, you know, and Scott, you've just been reading some of the Three Boot again recently, and it's the idea that of the dichotomy between Brainy and Cosmic Boy, you know, it's really interesting because Cosmic Boy is always much more evenly tempered. And so, you know, he's saying, hey, you know, yeah, this sucks, but it means we don't have to move our headquarters off Earth, and maybe we can help make some peace stick. And so he's definitely the optimist. Brainy, however, thinks the whole idea is absurd, and he says, I should just let Earthman put you all out of my misery, but he might ruin my equipment again.
Mm.
Which is funny because, you know, there's no one ruins his equipment more than Brainy.
Well, he wants to be able to do it first. He doesn't want anybody beating him to it.
Yeah, on his own terms, I think.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And so he refers to, well, you know, if we have to offer him a Legion ring, it doesn't need to be an ordinary one. And I love this. What was that rhyme about one ring? And Colossal Boy points out that was an old Earth Children's story, Brainy. And he says, I'm going to make a very special flight ring to offer Earthman.
Mm. He has a very Gollum look on his face.
He really does. He doesn't he, though? Like, even when he's talking about the rhyme about one ring, he looks like a cross between Gollum and the Grinch.
Mm-hmm. He seems a little bipolar in this issue.
I love it.
Well, he's a little pissed off in this issue, too. So, you know.
Yeah,
I guess.
So he's sort of plotting it all out in his head, you know, a nanite cluster controlled anti-energy, and Phantom Girl pops in through the statue of Karate Kid.
Yeah.
Because we're in the Hall of Dead Heroes, and I love that the statues are not just life-size, they're larger than life-size.
Super life-size.
Yeah, I love that. I think that's really cool. And
it's Karate Kid, Invisible Kid, and Feral Lad.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, we're talking
about
maybe he's on the other side of the room, Darren.
Oh yeah, out of frame.
Yeah, exactly. Sir not appearing in this issue.
Sorry.
And so she says, you know, you're muttering to yourself, Brainy, it's not healthy. And he says, healthy. 2,500 calories a day is healthy. 120 minutes a week of exercise is healthy. Figuring out how to recruit and control a sociopath as a legionnaire is not healthy, Phantom Girl. Ah. But when you get down to it, what it really comes down to, he says, it's a project that while challenging is ultimately not worth my time. That's really what it comes down to for Brainy.
He's annoyed he has to do this to protect everybody else.
Yeah, exactly. So we cut back to the Time Institute. and we have a Jaipu and the Beast.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
his name is Anapus or Usalas.
Usalas, that's right, that's right.
Cannon fodder one.
And yeah, exactly.
He doesn't have a red shirt, it's odd.
Interesting. And so they talk about Flashpoint. And now, of course, if you've been reading the Geoff Johns, Francis Manapul Flash, they've mentioned this Flashpoint as something that's upcoming. And I think it's basically scheduled for the end of this year or maybe next year. I can't remember exactly, but that's something that they're building toward in the Flash book. So maybe that ties into the whole 75th anniversary stuff. So anyway, they talk about the cautionary tales of observing the birth of the universe. Because remember the last time someone did that?
No, no one does.
That's the problem.
Yeah, it got all kinds of messy. Yeah, and
he
then
got
no
kicked
one
out
remembered.
Of the Green Lantern Corps.
Exactly. Exactly.
Is that the worst thing that could possibly happen?
Yes.
I don't think so.
Well, what you got to worry about is who then replaces you in the Green Lantern Corps.
Yeah. That's
See what sure. I did there? See what I did there? Foreshadowing.
Uh-huh. I know. That was very clever.
Yeah. And so we're back on the on Earth. And yeah, Earthman, you know, when you get down to it with those sideburns, he is very much a Grell character, isn't he?
Oh, yeah.
And Red so trick. He says how he would do anything to be free. And.
Anything?
Yeah, and of all people, he's got Brainy and Sunboy in front of him, and Cosmic Boy just standing back trying to keep the peace, and so Cosmic Boy has him give Earthman one last little slam just to make sure he remembers who's boss, and he says, "I regret doing it." Yeah, exactly. He says, "I regret doing that almost as much as I regret making you this offer," and so he offers him freedom and Legion membership, and they're really not pleased, and they've got the Legion flight ring for him, and he goes to pass it on to him, but of course it is his key to freedom but also his leash. There are some extra
provisos, some quid pro quos,
some extra security features in the ring. You'll find it difficult to remove once you put it on, and the security, well, that's for us, not you. Basically, it sounds like he's got kind of like the Suicide Squad with their bracelets.
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of which. All right. Anyway.
I'm waiting for the crossover now.
Can you see the Waller and Brainiac 5 up against each other?
Oh God, that was so good.
Seriously.
If Ostrander wrote it?
So he says, try anything nasty and Polar Boy won't be the only one-handed Legionnaire.
Hey-o.
Anyway, so Earthman's kind of, you know, he says, you're not afraid I'll use this to get out of here and push your sorry asses off Earth again? And yeah, he's not. And
whatever.
Yeah. You know, and I love this. Either join the Legion on very good behavior or rot back in prison. And
is the Brainy I like, where he's not all crazy and stuff. He looks
absolutely
calm, cool, and collected. He's got his shit together. He's like, hey.
He owns it. He owns the moment because he's smart enough to think it through, right?
Yep.
So basically, they say consider the offer, and they're going to go. And, you know, they question why governments are so stupid. And, well... and as Brainy says, because they're run by people and there are no more foolish creatures since the beginning of time.
Speaking of the beginning of time.
Exactly. Nice segue.
Nicely done, Paul.
So we're back onto they're looking into the dawn of the cosmos. And of course we know what they're going to see. We know they're going to see a big hand.
Nosebleed. Ah, crap.
Yeah, call your constant, Darren.
I'm fine.
All right. So,
I'm here, Darren. Don't worry.
So they basically set us up for this.
Oh, my constant's here. Yay.
Because, of course, this is all going to tie into the coordinates for Oa, because that was set up as the center. And I wonder if there's anyone on Oa in this century. So.
Or in Oa.
You mean Pariah? I mean.
All right. So. So they're watching this, and they, of course, see the hand, and stuff blows up. That's basically the best way to look at it, and they misspell. And here's some. Hey, everybody, ready to take a drink? Once again, they've misspelled Night Girl's planet's name. Krakoom.
Krakoom. Oh, take a drink. Sweet.
Exactly. And so we see in someone's eye a modified Green Lantern symbol with the image of Saturn and sort of this energy coming from the Time Institute. And he says it begins again as the Guardians foretold. And basically we get all kinds of stuff. Soda Myat is there on Oa.
Read it, Paul. Read it.
All right. As the guardians foretold, after their time, after the fall of the lanterns, that which has been forbidden will be seen again, an untold evil unleashed. And it is my fate to be witness from here on Oa, Soda Myat, last of the Green Lantern Corps, and most unfortunate of men of Daxam. To be powerful enough to see and helpless to act is pitiful, and one single tear plinks to the ground.
Who is this again? And who is this again? Is this Soda Myat or is this Pariah? He's got the green cape. He's got the funky hair. It's not a mohawk, I know, but come on.
It just needs to be purple and then...
powerful, yet unable to take any action to prevent it? Just a witness to the destruction, you say?
I'm liking it.
Exactly.
This is a big old seed that just got planted, people. Oh, yeah. Pay attention.
There was a tear, Darren.
And from where that tear, from where that tear lands, all of a sudden the ground pops up and green energy begins flowing from that opening in the ground. And he says, "It is though Oa itself weeps with me. Analysis ring, how is this possible?" And the ring says, "Residual command of the Guardians to their homeworld remain awaiting activation, undocumented in the Book of Oa. Violation of their primary commandment for the first time since Krona bought evil into the universe is likely trigger, not tears." That's all just consequences. Yeah, yeah, dur. He says, consequences unknown. But lots of green energy coming out of the ground there.
I think we know we're going to be seeing the consequences.
Yeah. Don't worry, maybe. Back to Titan, and there's panic in the streets. Saturn Girl gets out of her little happy place, and her first thought is like, okay, crazy stuff is happening, but I got to get to my kids. And everybody's kind of freaked out because there's a whole thing where they've got this heavy duty life support system on Titan, and that's what makes it inhabitable. And of course, we saw bits of this happen in Adventure Comics 11 when Mon-El went and actually seeded the worlds. And this was a race of telepaths that had been shrunk down in one of the bottled cities on Brainiac's ship. And he took them to Titan and, in fact, had a bit of a confrontation with Jem, son of Saturn.
Jem!
Oh, speaking
wrong
of
Jem, I'm sorry.
It's truly outrageous.
Speaking of Jem, there's going to be a new Jem DC Classics figure coming out.
That's right.
And what's Legion related about that line?
Don't
get me started on that thing.
So
I hate that every time they do one of those Build-A-Figures, it's the one I wanted the whole thing.
Yeah. Well, there's an OMAC in there too.
Oh yeah. Okay, I'll give you that. But I mean, it's
a pretty sweet
Gorilla Grodd, Chemo, now. Now Validus, I'm like, why do I like the big huge guys so much?
If you get the Raven, I'll buy it off you, Scotty. So
There you go. So, but yeah, build a figure of Validus. Speaking of Saturn Girl's kids, although...
spoilers!
Not necessarily.
Spoilers.
Spoilers for 20 years ago.
Yeah. All right. So something has destroyed the Time Institute. Stuff's going crazy. She sends an alert to the Legion because she's got to go and take care of her kids. So off she goes. She basically wants to make sure that they're okay before she comes back to help.
I like Saturn Girl with short hair.
It's really working for me in here, I got to say. Yeah. So on her way, she manages to save a whole bunch of lives because... She's a legionnaire.
That's what she does.
She's
a hero.
That's how she rolls. Well, flies, I guess.
And so she was thinking this might be a nice vacation because, you know, her kids have only ever seen where Garth came from, but wanted to have them see where she grew up, and that seems to not have worked so much. So then we're back on Oa, and the energy, again, is glorping out of the... So Ring, investigate and report. Unidentifiable life form emerging from within ground. And so they this little life form comes out, and it looks like a little fetus of sorts.
It's one of Oa's sperm.
Yeah, exactly. And what's interesting is he calls himself Diogen, right? Mm-hmm. And so what that makes me think of is Diogenes.
That's what I had that exact same thought.
And what was Diogenes doing? He was looking for the one honest man.
Yep.
Right. So. Ah. So.
Diogenes the cynic.
And as we know, Levitz doesn't just put this stuff in for the heck of it.
Right.
You know, it's like he thinks this stuff through. And you know, we know, like, after he mentioned the whole Starman being based on the rise and fall of the Ottoman Empire, we know that, you know, seriously, I mean, you know, when he puts a reference in, he means it. You know, it's not
he's
just
one well-read mother.
Exactly. So, so he, you know, basically he's going to take off with the ring, and he's going to go, and he grabs a ring that will be suitable. So off he goes, and then we get back, and there's Dawnstar. Oh, and Ultra Boy.
Wait. Oh, yeah, he is in this picture. I totally didn't see him.
Up and to the right, Scott. Up to the right.
Dang, Yildere.
Oh, man. Yeah. So I'll bet that page is going to fetch a few bucks.
Let me see how much this one's going for. It's been sold already.
Ignoring the obvious attributes there, he draws a beautiful Dawnstar in the face. She's classically beautiful without being like, and you still know she's supposed to be slightly ethnic in a way.
Without being cheesecake. Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, I'm sure.
Page is sold. Oh, well.
There you go. Book's been out a day. So they talk about the life support system that's on there, and so Ultra Boy goes to move it, and he says about, I've got no leverage to wrestle this thing and no Mon-El to hold the other end. There aren't nearly enough Legionnaires in the solar system and evacuation ships to get everyone out of there before the air runs out. And so we get back down there, and she's headed over to the building where she had left the twins. And... Saturn Girl, I mean, and not Dawnstar, because Dawnstar, we know where the twins are. So she gets there, no need for a door. She can't hear the boy's thoughts. So she gets in there and she can hear an echo of it. And some of the kids see her and they're like, oh, so the Rand's twins did know a Legionnaire. And, you know, I guess they'd been bragging a bit and the kids weren't believing them. So she sends them. Sorry.
I was just going to say, in the first page where she crashes in there, there's the little Superman Mego doll on the floor.
Yeah. That's a good point, you know. And there's
nice
a lot
to know
of
Mego repros are still going on in the 30th century.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, they probably picked one up back and took it back with them.
Maybe, yeah.
So, anyway, so yes, yeah, so they say, oh yeah, the kids went that way, and so off they go, and they see, and she sees the boys, and of course we're wondering, you know, how's Garrodin gonna look? It was Garrodin was the one
fine,
who,
doesn't
yeah.
he?
Yeah, no problems. He seems to have all his
no visible brain.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No mental lightning.
No virus coming out of his mouth. Okay,
exactly. Okay. So it all seems well. But then they get enveloped in some Kirby crackle.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And
thanks,
away they
Paul.
Go.
Thank you, Paul. Not and you, Paul. The other Paul.
I know.
Paul,
I know.
This Paul.
Yeah.
Thank you. I was like, I read this. And I was like,
so, you know, what did he tell us? He said he's going to put Saturn Girl through the ringer, not even halfway through the issue, and he's not only has he caused all kinds of turmoil with, as he talked about, you know, with her being left behind by her husband, et cetera, then there's scary stuff going on the planet, takes the kids away, and it's not over yet.
Oh, no. No. This is a very bad day if you're a telepath.
Oh, absolutely. and so they've got... Earthman's still on the power drainer, and they're thinking, yeah, we're just about done. And he says, I wanted this ring so badly once. I didn't understand what it stood for. Now that I do, I'm not sure whether to accept it or crush it to molecules. And he talks about if he had the strength. And then all of a sudden, Diogenes shows up, says strength and more.
Ooh, yeah.
And so we're back on on Titan, and Saturn Girl's got the rest of the kids that were in the building to one of the evacuation ships, and they're worried, you know, they're saying, I want my mama, where is she? And she says, they'll reconnect families when you reach Earth, just be patient, now we need to get you off world.
They're sending all the aliens to Earth, huh?
That's going to be a problem, exactly. You know, because they love aliens down there.
They love alien mind readers.
But you see that what a great he's setting it all up right there. I mean it's a great way to cause a little trouble. So anyway, so she's hoping that her luck holds with this, and thinks that it may have been a time transport beam that hit the boys. And since everything seems to center around the Time Institute, it's not that that big a leap, right? So she gets to the Time Institute, and we see the other guys that we were worried about what their names were, no longer an issue.
They're crispy.
And she says, and Saturn Girl says, if I was a religious woman, I would
brew.
Yeah, exactly. If I were a religious woman, I would say that the hand of God had reached down to smite them. And Harmonia Lee comes out of the background, says it felt that way, and basically explains the whole thing, explains who she is, and says that we did meet once when I was... and so Harmonia was one of Ron Vidar's students. And so she basically asks about if there was if she knows anything about a time transport beam. That hit after the explosion, because she suspects that it took her children. And all Harmonia Lee has to say about that is that she's sorry. Then we get a big splash page of the Legionnaires doing what Legionnaires do, saving stuff. And,
I love this page.
It's fantastic. It's a great page. It's fantastic, and you've got, again, a slightly more haughty and in-control Brainy. Basically saying, hey, you know, we all have our things at which we're experts, and that's what we should focus on. And and basically, you know, let's figure out let's grab whatever equipment they have over at the Time Institute, get Saturn Girl, and leave this methane ball before the chain reacts into a total disaster. And Colossal Boy, always being willing to lend a hand, asks if he can help, and he's told, it's easier for me to identify and gather what's useful than it is to explain it to you, Colossal Boy. manage the evacuation and move debris. That's more your speed anyway. Yeah, so he knows that there's one time sphere left on Earth, so that there should be two here at the Institute. The photon accelerator tube that he developed for the Time Viewer better have survived. Of course, that's the one from the first Universal story. Mm-hmm. And he talks about how much, you know, inertron he had to use to build that one after he blew up the headquarters lab. Or was that the university lab I had borrowed after I blew up the one at Legion headquarters? So hard to keep track of trivialities. he says, so how do the lower order intelligences cope? I hope they're lesser intellectual ambitions make it possible. And he actually mentions the whole Maslow's hierarchy of needs, you know, as being an ancient analytic.
Yeah.
So he says, you know, explains why Saturn Girl spends so much energy worrying about her children, I suppose. And so he gets in there and sees one of the time spheres, and Saturn Girl's already got plans for it. She's getting ready to go, and she says, "Yeah, the Professor Lee can explain after I go." And he says, "But we need this equipment." She says, "I need to find my sons. I think what's really happening is she's going back in time to meet up with the Avengers."
But there is a problem with her kids.
Well, yes, but you know. Maybe. Yes, maybe they turn out to be assholes or Validus. So Brainy says, I suppose you can tell me what's going on. We get another great Dawnstar page. seriously, he does just a great job of drawing Dawnstar. I mean, you know, this one you just get that sense of motion. Ah, it's just fantastic. So they've got they've loaded awesome up
power work.
It is. Who did it, by the way?
Some dude.
Yeah.
Let me look at the credits.
It is. It's Hi-Fi. It's Brian Miller and his crew. Yeah. Of course, it's great. So, Yeah, he says, but you know, but so basically, they've got the cruiser there, and she says, "You may try to match your speed to mine, Colossal Boy, but you know, I'd be careful with Colossal Boy driving the cruiser because he's got tendency to smack into
ice asteroid in the way."
Yeah.
Geez, you hit one ice asteroid and suddenly everybody's on their ass.
He was probably just checking someone out in the rearview mirror.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, so Brainy says, yeah, we'll need the stabilizers in about 1.2 seconds. And, you know, he says, despite the fact that we've done an incomplete evacuation, we've saved more lives than the United Planets or Science Police ever could. Perhaps once again showing them why the Legion is vital to modern civilization. But as this happens, Titan explodes.
Kaflooey.
Yeah.
It's a bad month for planets in the DCU.
It really is. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And, so yeah, even as the times, and so that she's just heading off into time and she hears this in her mind. And it's that idea of, you know, it's a world of telepaths, right? So when they're reaching out with their mind,
like people, a million voices silenced at once.
No way. Yeah.
Thank you, Sir Alec Guinness.
Oh, man. And so, yes, she hears the echoes as every mind across the universe hears Titan die and cries in sympathy. And so you see these reactions. So you see Dawnstar reacting in a little nice little nine-panel grid.
Yeah, this is probably my favorite page in the issue.
Nine-panel grid?
Yeah.
Check. Yep.
So you got Gigi Cusimano on Earth. You've got Block and the Black Witch on Sorcerer's World. Soda Myat on Oa. You've got Pariah.
Kariah.
Yeah.
Soda Myat, you big baby.
Nice.
Suck it up, Sodom.
You got Polar Boy on Thar.
With
your
lady friend.
Yeah, hey. a little action.
This. Hello.
Down at the Legion Academy, you've got Chuck and Lornu. Mm-hmm. On Kalu, you got a bunch of
Kaluans,
yeah. Lightning Lord on Takran Galtos. And of course, Sideburn's guy in Legion headquarters.
Angry Murdo.
Yeah, exactly.
Angry Murd.
Lucky Charms.
Oh, God, that's funny. Oh, and look, he's got a little green dude in front of him. It all fits. So he says that Oa has sent him. But Earthman wants to know what that horrible death scream was. And everyone's head is throbbing. And the science police are, gunning at the little alien, and he says, "No, you. I'm not sent here for you, nor will you be permitted to interfere." And he zaps their little guns, and puts them to sleep. Does the initiate your human resting phase, and he turns his attention.
Not the alien you are looking for.
Exactly. Yeah. And so he turns back to Earthman, and he says, you know, basically, hey, I'm a prisoner here. You know, I'm not much use to you. And he says, no longer. And he frees him from the machinery, and he says, Mogo is no more, and Diogene must perform his duties. And he says, whatever the hell a Mogo or Diogene is, mm-hmm. he says, this sentience is Diogene, Kurt Nidri, and Oa has sent me to you. You are chosen to become the possessor of the ring for Sector 2814, Green Lantern. And there's the ring. Booyah!
Called it!
You did.
Yes, indeed.
Totally
indeed.
Called it.
And you know what? Because, you know, when you hear people talking about it, Blockade Boy on the forum today or yesterday was saying about, you know, no, don't give it to him. It would just drive me nuts if you gave it to him. And I think that's exactly why it's perfect.
Exactly.
Of all the people. I mean, it's bad enough that Earthman's going to be a Legionnaire. But then to give him
a Green Lantern.
Are you kidding me? Yeah, so, and it's neat, cause, and then we get a one-page text piece by Paul Levitz, Welcome to the Future.
I love this text piece.
This is great, because he gets into a bit of the background, you know, what it is, you know, what things that you need to know, where you can find stuff.
Unfortunately, I read this first when I was waiting in line to pay at the comic shop.
It's hard not to, because you want to read something, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And he says about how it's also a really good excuse for the moments when my, because he talks about having all this stuff sort of chronicled and how there's always sometimes chronicler's error when it comes to the technology or all the different facts and everything. Says, but also probably a good excuse for the moments when my brain loses track of someone's home planet or a previous bit that only Mark Wade can quickly recall in a trivia contest.
Mm-hmm. Mm. I think that is a bit of foreshadowing as well, listeners.
Uh-huh.
It's not as much foreshadowing as you think. Anyway, so he talks about the flight rings a bit and how that's going to be a big thing. And yeah, but basically how, you know, new readers should be able to enjoy the story as unimpeded. You know, he's basically going to, you know, everything you pretty much need to know is set up in here. Or was set up in the preceding miniseries, which have been referenced. But you know, it's you know, you're given a whole lot happening in here, and I can't wait for next month.
Oh wow, totally!
I can't wait for 2 weeks.
Oh yeah, 2 weeks, yeah, Adventure 12. That's right, and I want to buy the variant now.
Cause me too.
That's just sweet.
It's gonna rock, isn't it?
Yeah.
I feel like we're finally where we wanted to be after Lightning Saga.
Yes.
Yeah, it's taken a while to get there, but totally worth the wait.
Slow build up has been totally worth it.
Yeah, yeah, that's that's a tough balance to hit too. I mean,
well, if nothing else, it does give the new readers a place to start.
Yeah.
So you don't
yeah.
have to go all the way back to the beginning. You can just start there.
And you can't look at this book and go, "Oh my God, there are too many characters." What, there were nine? Nine yeah. Legionnaires really featured here and a couple of supporting casts. That's normal.
And all
for a team book.
All introduced as we went along. Here's what their powers are. Here's what they do. Yep. You know, and so that really works well. But also, yeah, in Adventure, we're going to get the backstory as well. You know, so you know, she's already kind of teased a bit of that. You know, Saturn Girl teased a bit of it when she talked about the whole thing, how everybody always expected her and Rock to be a couple.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know, so I'm really looking forward to that. That's going to be a lot of fun, and you know, so it's that idea. You know, as Paul said when we talked to him, it was a challenge, and it was a challenge that Geoff Johns gave him. You know, he said, give them something where this is your starting point, and this is everything you need to know, and I'd say that you know, it's a really great start to a new series.
Indeed.
Mission accomplished, sir.
Exactly. You can go home again.
Exactly. Exactly. But we do have something for Darren.
Oh?
Ooh.
Yes.
Well, before you have something for me, I got to say, not only was this book out but as a new number one, but we're going to do a new State of the DC soon.
Yeah.
But I gotta say, Birds of Prey number one.
Oh, seriously, it was fantastic.
My God, thank
I've
you,
got a
Gail,
question for you, Darren.
Yeah,
about that. White Canary.
Yeah, brand new.
Yeah.
Is that Shadow?
Don't know.
See, that's what I thought.
No, it could be Shadow. Yeah. It could be.
The little bird.
Yeah. Dinah referred. To she was thinking about looks Asian. Oh my God, could it be Cassandra Kang? Could it be mm-hmm. God
or,
help
or Shiva? Yeah.
You know, and Shadow's another excellent candidate for that, mm-hmm. as would be Cheshire, you know, in another outfit just to freak with Black Canary.
Although Cheshire's kind of busy over in Rise of Arsenal at the moment.
But mm-hmm. that doesn't mean that she wouldn't cross over at some point just mm-hmm. to. Because this kind of plan sounds like a Terminator plan to me, honestly.
Yes.
Someone having all these files and I'm going to yes. kill someone every hour. It just sounds like a Terminator type thing. But in the series we don't mention often at all, there in one of the miniseries that spun out of that, they went to Earth 3 and there mm-hmm. was a White Canary on that Earth.
Oh, that's right.
You are correct.
I don't know if...
We forgot about that.
If that is the White Canary we're looking at, because I think the White Canary on Earth 3 was actually African-American, not Asian. So there's lots of candidates right now for that role. But no, this is the first appearance, to my knowledge, of White Canary on Earth One, dare I say it? Let's call it New Earth. Let's just call it New Earth. Let's not get confusing. Yeah. So,
I'm thinking it's Shadow.
It could very well be Shadow.
Yeah. Okay. So.
You want to stump me? Is that what you want?
I don't want to. I don't want to. Someone else is going to stump you.
You get some kind of perverse glee out of this. I know you do, French.
Well, these questions.
Don't stop. Believe it. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
These questions come to us courtesy of a Mr. Mark Wade.
Ah, oh, screw this. I'm out. All right, shoot.
Question number one. Who was
I'm laughing at my ineptitude ahead of time. Go ahead.
Yeah. Who was the first person to join the Legion after Light Lass, although she was, of course, Lightning Lass at the time?
The first person to join the Legion after Light Lass and stay with the Legion?
No.
It's like, no. Well, Dreamgirl joined for that one issue where she changed her powers and then left. So I'm going to go with Dreamy on that one.
Scott?
Oh, what? No.
Matt can't be your lifeline because he knows the answers to these questions.
Yes. Oh.
Well, then I'm hosed. Okay.
No.
I was thinking Block, but I have no idea, really.
It's not Block. No. Oh,
there you go.
All right. It's kind of a trick question.
Of course it is.
But on the front, the first page of the story, the Lone Wolf Legionnaire from Adventure 327, mm-hmm. which is, of course, the story in which Timberwolf joins. And they have, yes, it says, I was sentenced under the law that forbids joining the Legion of Superheroes under false pretenses. And he's just being hauled off to the prison world, which was, of course, not yet known as Tacron Galtos.
Uh-huh.
Yes. So Wade refers to him as false pretenses, lad.
Okay.
All right.
Well, Dreamy should have gone to prison, too. So there you go.
And the Dreamgirl story was before this, because I remember when we were reading that section, we were joking about it being just like Dreamgirl. So, maybe. All right. What element has a greater attraction for lightning than any other?
I want to say vibranium, but wrong universe. I don't know why I clued right into Marvel. Is it vanadium? It's the thing they made those stupid lightning rods out of. I'm so wrong, aren't I?
You're right about what it is. You just don't have the name.
I don't have the name. Well, fudge buckets.
Because there was one of them that was a bit more useful than the others.
Oh, that's right. They made Saturn Girl made a lightning rod, and she spray painted it to be the same color as the others. But she knew it would be her to get hit, most likely, because of its stronger attractiveness to the electric stuff going on upstairs. Crap. I know all that, but I don't know the name of the element. So
it is Duralim.
Duralim. Ah. That sucks. All right. I should have obviously read the entire original Legion run before we did this podcast today. Okay.
It's okay, Darren, because this last question, I think you're gonna have this one.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Sure.
Okay. So
all right.
From the first Fatal Five story. Match each participating Legionnaire to the Fatal Five member he or she personally recruited. So your way through this one is pick your member of the Fatal Five and who was it that recruited them personally.
That's very true. Let's go with I believe Feralad was Mano.
That is correct.
Let's see. I want to say Projectra was Persuader.
Yes, that is correct as well.
Okay. Now it begins to get hazy.
I know Validus.
All right. What's Validus? Who's Validus? Sunboy?
Yeah. Correct.
So that leaves Superboy and Cosmic Boy and Tyrock. I love Tyrock. Listen to me. Tharok. And the Empress, was it? I'm going to go Superboy Empress.
Yeah.
Because they had that sex subplot in the second issue. Yeah,
that's
of that
right.
Part of that story. And then that means Cosmic Boy and Therok, which makes sense because he can control metal and Therok is half metal. So there you go.
Well done. Well done. You, sir, have not been stumped by Mark Waid.
By the... What is he this time? Is he invincible? Is he irredeemable? What is Mark Waid right now?
He's the greatest Legion fan in the world.
Yeah.
Well, that's true. But I usually, you know, he's got some kind of adjective attached to his name right
last
now.
Last I knew, it was good.
Yes.
Oh,
that's
Mark
right,
Waid
yes.
is good. Well, then Mark Waid is
before that,
good.
He was evil. And
Mark Waid is a great guy. I like Mark Waid.
Absolutely. So,
he can stump me whenever. So
exactly.
Thank you very much, Mr. Waid.
Indeed, indeed. So here's something is at some point we need more stump questions. I know we've got a few excuse me that I've got to get through, but if you want to send them to us, by all means do so. And yes. Because it's something we definitely. I just love because I can hear Darren squirming over there, and it's
you can,
a
you can
thing.
Hear my the vein on the side of my head throbbing, going ah crap. Because usually by the time we do it, I'm half in the bag at this point.
But it's a weekday, podcast. So it's all different, right?
Yeah, fresh. That's I'm actually not bad. I'm just old and had Alzheimer's on that Duralum question. That's something I should have known. So yeah, whatever. Man. It is what it is. It's good. It's all good, it's baby. True. It's all it's good. True.
I got to help out, so I'm happy.
Look at you. Scott. Yeah, look at you busting out the Validus.
Gave me the save. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, yeah. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing.
It is a good month to be a DC reader.
It really is. I was thinking that I sat and I read a bunch of books last night and getting caught up on some stuff and had a nice little stack going that I worked my way through and it was great to get caught up on that stuff and just I was totally just in that mode with reading the new Legion book and it's a beautiful thing.
Uh-huh.
It's a beautiful
it's
thing.
Completely beautiful thing.
And there's
DC
some big things coming up.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. There's big things coming up. We got a new run on Superman coming up as Robinson and Gates finish up their run. And very interested to see what JMS does over there. And he's also going to be doing Wonder Woman. And we've got like big issues. We got, what is it, 600 for...
Wonder Woman and 700 for action.
And
Batman.
And Batman.
700 for Superman. Action
Superman,
is
Superman.
Superman. Yeah, action's already done. Yeah,
they're heading for 900 soon. Yeah.
And
so,
Brightest Day. Wow, that knocked my socks off.
Yeah. Yeah, you know,
knocked my freaking socks off.
And I'm finding it interesting, you know, when you talk about the, and I realize this sort of treads on a bit of the state of the DCU stuff, but you know what, we've kept ourselves reined in pretty much this episode. It's all good. Is that Hawk and Dove were part of that whole group coming back, and but it seems that their story, well, and I mean that could change any time now, right? But it seems that their story is being told over in Birds of Prey. And
yes, it is. And to my delight, Lady Blackhawk had to ask if Hawk was a fancy.
I thought you'd like that.
I burst laughing. I was like, oh, thank you, Ms. Blake. You are back. Woohoo.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah. And but honestly, in this most recent issue, I got to say there was I really was kind of, oh, great, you know, Martian Manhunter's back, because I get little interest, you know, if he hasn't got a bag of Oreos in front of him and bantering with Booster and Beetle, I got no interest. And I this has been interesting so far.
Mm-hmm.
in this couple of issues. It's been really interesting.
Well, they're giving some long overdue cred to some of the old satellite JLAers, it seems. And
Yeah.
I would not be surprised if after the 75th anniversary, we don't get the Satellite Justice League again. And mm-hmm. I'm going to go ahead and include Ralph in that.
Interesting.
Yeah, I know. And not Plastic Man as a substitute. I'm going to include Ralph. I think they're going to figure out that is a hanging subplot that Flash is going to have to deal with. I think they're going to deal with it. And I think we're going to get the satellite JLA back.
Yeah.
Maybe even with some additional characters added to
like
it.
Vibe.
No, not Vibes. Vibes, come on. But,
you know. Little brother.
Yeah,
it's,
no.
It's
oh,
Vibe.
What was Little Vibe's name? Reverb.
Reverb.
Reverb. Yeah. Reverb.
Speaking of Chris Sprouse, there you go.
Hey.
Yeah.
He was Breakdance in the JLA Crisis on Two Earths movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, yeah. That's right.
Which I thought was kind of funny, actually. I was like, oh, they named him. They gave Vibe the speaking part. Wow, okay, whatever.
Seriously.
Seriously. That was an inside gag. Someone said, oh, yeah, the fanboys love this. Anyway,
oh, yeah. Oh, so. Well, McDuffie wrote it, right? So
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So.
So there you
but
go.
No, I just feel like they're heading that way.
You're right. Mm-hmm. You know, the JLA sort of getting and it's an edge they need.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it worked when Grant Morrison did it. So
yeah, yeah. Well, you know, his whole thing was basically get back to the sort of the Knights of the Round Table kind of thing, and really, let's face it, the satellite era was that with a
plus extras.
exactly, and you know, it's. There was that Ethan Van Sciver interview a while back that Peter and I think it was Pants did, where they talked about where Van Sciver was saying, you know, part of it is that there's some big stuff planned coming out of mm-hmm. all this, you know, and so you've yeah. got you know, they've already brought Hal back, they're bringing Barry back, and you know, and further to that, now we've got Ray Palmer back as the Atom. And
pitch is really handy right now.
So we got him back, and we've got Ronnie Raymond back as Firestorm. Yeah, you know, it wouldn't seem too terribly out of line for Ralph to be back, would it?
Uh-uh.
So
and Mara is not dissolving into the background, which I'm loving. I'm loving that they're yep. bringing front forward
yeah,
on
exactly.
this. So,
and on the bright side, in order to bring Elongated Man back, they don't have to kill anybody.
True.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
True.
Poor that Ryan Choi.
Yeah, poor Ryan Choi.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Yeah, but that must have happened in the Titans book.
Yeah,
I didn't read it.
Me neither.
I just heard about it.
Yeah, I just heard about it, too. It's all over the internet, and I'm like, really? Was this necessary?
Huh? See, because what would have been interesting there, because they didn't need to kill him off, right, is could... You know, he was a student of Ray's. You know, wouldn't it have been great for him to be like his lab assistant, his sidekick? You know,
yeah, Kid Adam.
They could have made that work.
They could have the totally Adam made that killed.
Yeah, well, that's true. True. Yeah.
Won't be the last either. So
no, exactly.
Poor Adam. Adam. Poor. Adam.
Yes,
Adam,
exactly.
Adam Cray. Adam. You know yep. what? Someone should do a Suicide Squad podcast.
Oh yeah,
totally. There, see, nobody's saying no. It's we're wearing him down, Scott.
Yeah. Well, that standard response has gotten old, so I've got to change it. So.
Got to shake it up a little bit. It's
exactly.
Like, now I'm starting the charge.
Turn it around on you. So.
So I think that's as good a place as any to wrap things up. Anyone got anything else to add?
Nope.
No. Just that we'll be really hungover tonight anyway, because Lost will be over finally. And and if there's a time bubble that shows up in this final episode, I will have a fit. Anyway.
Or I was so sad. So I can never remember.
It's so confusing. All right, so before we go, actually, I am going to just, we're going to run a little promo here for PKD Media. So check it out.
Oh, yeah.
From the creators of Mercury and the Murd and Tales of the Cornerstone comes Agents of Cult Volume 1, Recipe for Destruction, a story of a paranormal science defense organization protecting the universe from evil and villainy of all sorts. This trade paperback collection weighs in at 72 pages and features black and white artwork by Mr. Andrew Charapar and a story written by the awesome Sean Pryor, with a cover by Bill Blankenship and Eric White. The book can be ordered for the price of $9.99 through Discount Comic Book Service or $6.99 through Heroes Corner. But wait, there's more. For every customer that pre-orders a copy of Agents of Colt, they will receive a free head sketch by the series artist Andrew Charapar. So for more details and to order this awesome book, go to pkdmedia.com, dcbservice.com, or heroescorner.com. Remember, Agents of Colt Volume 1, Recipe for Destruction, where action has never been higher.
Comments, as always, are welcome at legionofsubstitutepodcasters@gmail.com. And you can also join us on the forum at forum.legionofsubstitutepodcasters.com. We are on the Twitter. You can follow us there. It is LOSP Podcast. We are also on the Facebook as Legion of Substitute Podcasters. And all kinds of neat stuff going on over there, too. So you should check it out. And you can also head over to our website. That's right. It's legionofsubstitutepodcasters.com. You can comment on the individual threads for each and every episode.
And in a week or so, we may have some exclusive website content.
We will indeed. So there we go. Little teaser for you.
You're just trying to get me to go to the damn thing, aren't you?
That's right. That's right.
So Mosby, you can't go anywhere near the site. You can't crash the game.
I love that Mosby's the one getting the blame for it when I'm the only one who touched the damn thing. Oh, man. All right. So
it's nice of you to cover for him, Paul.
It is. I'm looking out for our boy.
To blame for this.
All right. So with that, we are going to head back into the time bubble. Well, wait, where'd it go? Oh, Saturn Girl took it?
Oh,
all right. Looks like we're going to be hitching a ride and waiting for Rip Hunter to swing through. And we will see you. We're going to head back to the 21st century, and we will see you all next week.
Yub nub.
Woohoo!